life is precious. Luke 14:26 says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, why in the world, under the circumstances, and with a title called Life is Precious, would I start with that?
Yeah.
Well, there's a point, and I hope by the end of the day we'll see. Why would I start with that? We know that life is precious. We, most of the time, don't have a problem with that. We don't have a problem with it after somebody's born. We have laws against murder that go back all the way to the beginning. We know instinctively that life is something worth preserving, and most of the time we want to preserve our own life. But sometimes we don't feel that way. I did some very quick research on just some statistics, and the latest ones that I could correlate were from 2009. According to the FBI, 15,399 people were murdered in 2009. If you average that out per day, it'd be 42 people plus a day. In our abortion clinics, we kill more children every day than we lost in the entire incident of 9/11. Over 53 million gone since 1972, when Roe v. Wade was put in. According to a statistic which I didn't have a chance to hunt down, but something my wife shared with me that she heard, one in five people worldwide have been aborted. Frightening.
Not good, I think.
Well, we need to get you saved. We'll address that later.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good. Never good. Never good.
But we're here today because something has come up in our church that's another rather startling. We've now become part of another rather startling statistic. And that is that of suicide. I found some quick stats on the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention website. In 2009, 36,909 people committed suicide. That is over twice the murder rate. People taking their own lives. Another site estimated that 11 attempts are made for every success. But if the claims of this organization where I got the statistics are correct, it would be at least double that, because they claim that almost a million people a year make the attempt. I was surprised to learn that we hear more about teens, because it seems more tragic when it's young people involved, and so it makes more news. But the top demographic is ages 40 to 59. Women attempt it three times more often than men, but men are four times more successful.
Yeah.
90%, according to the claims on this website anyway, of people who commit suicide would have a diagnosable mental illness. The World Health Organization, I don't know how much we can trust that data, but according to them, 1 million people a year worldwide do succeed. You know, in a place like this where many of us are facing more difficulty than perhaps the average person. I am relatively certain that more than one of us has at least thought about it. I'll be perfectly honest with you, I once thought about it. You know, looking back, I think, well, my goodness, you didn't really have it that bad. But that's not what you think at the time. You're so consumed with what's going on. This was, for me, right after, just a short time after my first marriage ended. And I thought that everything was over at that point. I didn't imagine myself ever standing up here. I mean, the people that I was around, most of them believed that if you'd have that in your history, you couldn't be a preacher. You couldn't be a preacher. I thought that all the things that supposedly God had put in my life and all the things that could be done right, I had done wrong, and I had thrown it all away. And I felt hopeless, and I thought, you know, it would just be a whole lot easier. You know, and I thought about it. I didn't go through with it. I didn't attempt it. I think more than anything, I was just afraid that the people who said you'd go to hell, it's great if you did it, might be right. And so I didn't want to take that chance. Now, I think I would want to stop at that point, at this point, and clarify that I firmly believe in the mercy of God. I firmly believe in the justice of God. And if somebody takes their own life who is mentally ill and does not comprehend the reality of what they have done, God is not going to send them to hell if they've already made him Lord. I believe that. Because that's justice. However, the harsh reality is, if you've come to that point in your life, there might be a good chance that you haven't made that decision. And I would hate to think that somebody's life ended without having sealed their eternity. God values life. In fact, he says that he is life. Jesus said in John 6:48, I am the bread of life. In 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the giver of life. God was the creator from the beginning. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says that God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Jesus said in John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. He's the giver of life, and life belongs to him.
Amen.
He makes this plain two ways. You find it first in, well, not necessarily first, but the first place I picked is in Leviticus. Chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, and he is going through the various dietary laws and things that he instructed the children of Israel to do as a symbol of what he was about to do for them. And listen to the way he speaks of blood, which is the life. And any man from the house of Israel or from an alien who sojourns among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats the blood and cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. I'm just saying about the blood of the Lamb. That's what this points to. Deuteronomy 32:39 says, "See how that I am He. And there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death, and I who give life. I have wounded, and it is I who will heal. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand. Life belongs to God." Because life belongs to God, we need to value life. We need to value the lives of others, and we need to value our own life. It's not ours. We don't own it. Life is not ours to take. God sets about making this very plain as early as the book of Genesis. In one particular place, as he's talking to Noah after they got off the ark, he says, "He who sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man." God gave your life to you for a purpose. And he gave you everything that you need to fulfill that purpose. Sometimes that's hard for us to see, especially if we're facing any kind of challenge, whether it be physical or mental or circumstantial, whatever whatever it may be. We think that we don't have everything. God can't possibly be calling me, asking me to do anything because I don't have what it takes. But that's not what he says. Moses is a perfect illustration. I don't know if you picked up on it from the scripture, but it seems rather apparent. You know, there's speculation on whether Paul had a disability, but Moses tells us pretty plainly, I don't talk well. It sounds as if maybe he even had a stutter. Aaron did all the talking for Moses. Moses didn't speak. He was so afraid. In fact, he was so afraid to go do what God asked him to do that he actually made God mad. I don't want to be in that situation. The Lord tells me to do something. I want to do it.
Amen.
He gives you everything that you need to accomplish the purpose that he created you for, even if you don't think so. And it all starts with Jesus. Where do we go wrong? How do we find ourselves in these situations where we think that life is hopeless? Please don't hear judgment today, because we all get there at some time in our lives, I think. We may not all necessarily think of taking our lives, but it's just a feature of the world that we live in, that we run into those times when we don't think we have any hope. But we get off the track. We get off the track, first of all, because Jesus has not been made Lord of our lives. I don't mean did you walk up the aisle and say a prayer. That's good if it meant something. That's good if it really was a time in your life when you turned it over and you said, "Yes, Lord, you are my Lord. I will serve you."
Amen.
That's the transition that needs to happen in our lives. We stop serving ourselves and we start serving Him. The other thing that we do, and I have certainly been guilty of this most of my life, is that we don't trust Him to do what He said He's going to do. I am just so thankful for His grace in my life, and I know that it's true for everyone who comes to this place in life, that you start seeing that all along God is working to do what He said He would do. We just got to learn to trust Him when it doesn't look like it. And it's a hard lesson. And I'm still learning it. I feel pretty good right now. I finally saw some of you come together. So I've got a little faith because of what I saw. But Jesus said, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe.
Patience.
Patience, yeah. The other thing that we need, the other way we get off track, quite frankly, is sin. When we stop doing the things that lead to life, and we do the things that lead to death, death is what we get. Proverbs 10:16. Proverbs are full of wisdom. I urge you, I do this every day. Read there's 31 Proverbs. Read the proverb that goes with the day. Read it every day. You will learn so many interesting, wonderful things that are in there that you will find are so relevant to the life around you. You'll start seeing how, yeah, that's true. I've seen it happen that way. But 10:16 says, the wages of the righteous is life. But the income of the wicked is punishment. We all know Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ. Proverbs 12:28 says, in the way of the righteous is life, and in its pathway there is no death. And we know that there is forgiveness.
What is eternal life?
What is eternal life? Well, it's in other words, you live forever. You don't necessarily, you don't live in this body forever. We're all getting out of these bodies one day, and most of us, I think, are glad. But we live then with God forever.
Is there any sort of outlook on that? Like how we'll be and so
forth? Well, that's a whole other subject. We'll go there someday. But there's forgiveness. You know, if we do get off as Christians, or even if we come to that point in our lives before we become Christians that we decide, you know what, I've had enough of this. I need to serve the Lord. John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If sin has caused our problem, all we need to do is repent. I say all we need to do. Sometimes that's harder than it sounds. I recognize that in my own life. But it's there for us. We can turn it around. Sometimes sin is our problem. I think for most of us, the problem can also come because we just don't spend enough time. We don't spend enough time in His Word. We don't spend enough time in prayer. We don't spend enough time listening to hear what He's saying to us. We just read that He has the words of life. But if we're not listening, we don't hear them. And what happens? We start believing lies. What do you combat lies with? The enemy will tell you through any source that he can find. Sometimes he'll even use your Christian brothers and sisters to tell you things that are not true. Tell you that you're no good. Tell you that you can't be. You've gone too far. Tell you that you're not good enough in any way that he can. But that's not God's view. Combat lies with truth. Proverbs, again, I love the book of Proverbs. Chapters, the first few chapters are speaking of wisdom. 4:13 says, take hold of instruction and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Proverbs 8:35 and 36, again, talking about wisdom. For he who finds, this is a wisdom personified here, speaking. And you might also equate wisdom with God, the way that that chapter is written. This chapter, starting at 35, it says, "For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death, pursue wisdom, and find life." Again, Proverbs 10:17 says that he who has gone the path of life, he is on the path who heeds instruction. He's on the path of life who heeds instruction. But he who ignores reproof goes astray. You know, sometimes we need to listen to people that are trying to tell us we're not going the right way. We, a lot of times, will just, we love to say, "You can't judge me." You know what? That's not even really what the scripture says. It says that we're to judge with a righteous judgment. And it says that the same standard we use is the standard that's going to apply to us. But that implies that there is a standard, and that standard is God's standard. Well, another way that we get off track sometimes is start thinking that life is hopeless. What I've heard some people call stinking thinking. We get off in our minds and we start thinking about things in a way that's not healthy. And we pursue those things. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says that for the mind that's set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. And one of our favorite passages over in Philippians 4:6-8, I bet you the people can quote that. "Be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there be any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Fill your mind with good things. Growing up, a lot of times we would just have worship music playing in the house, or we would have scripture tapes just playing in the background in the house. Why? Because we wanted to fill our minds with truth. Because it's the truth to combat those lies that get us off track. Somebody help that cat.
Yes. Stuck somewhere.
She's sleeping.
She's snoring.
Oh, is that what that is? Sound like a cat. All right. Let's wrap it up. Life is precious.
Amen.
Life is not ours to control. We need to choose life. You know, it doesn't happen automatically. We have to make a choice that we're going to pursue those good things, and we're going to pursue those right things. Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 19, this is Joshua talking as they're about to go into the land. He says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, that I set before you life and death, blessing and the curses. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. You know, not only do we need to choose life, we need to give life. Proverbs 15:4 says that a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. We need to be speaking words of life to one another, because our words can help or they can destroy. But always, with everything that we say and everything that we do, we need to be acting in love to each other. I'm not condemning anybody or saying somebody's done something wrong. I'm just saying, we've got to keep this stuff in our hearts and think about it and always be putting other people ahead of ourselves and thinking about what could be going on in their lives. You know, this may not be you today. I hope that nobody here is feeling so bad that they have, you know, are in imminent danger of making this kind of decision. But as we have all seen, we know people who've come to that point. And if this message is not for you, I hope that it gives you something so that when you learn that somebody that you know, somebody that you love, has come to this point, that you'll be able to say, no, God loves you. Your life is precious. Don't throw it away. Getting back to that point, the scripture that we started with, and why in the world would we start with that scripture? There is a situation, there is something that we can consider more valuable than life itself on this earth. That is Jesus Himself. Only He is worthy of life. Only He is worthy of that kind of respect, that kind of commitment. He alone deserves to have more of our concern than our very lives. Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 and 27 says that he who wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will a man profit? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in His glory with His Father, with His angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds.
Isn't bone and blood kind of like a matter of opinion? And in a matter of opinion, that's why people end it sometimes in matter of opinion.
Well, people think it's a matter of opinion, but God said it's not a matter of opinion. God values life. That's what we've been talking about. I'd be happy to talk with you some more about it later. Paul talks about this, and he talks about wanting to be with Jesus. He says, to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, what does he mean? He's going to go take his own life? No. He means that there is a time in our lives, there is a place where we desire to be with Jesus, because in Him is the fulfillment of life. But it's on His time,
amen,
not our time. How will we stand before God? This is something else I thought about as I went through my own struggle. And that wasn't the only time I wanted to die. That was just the only time I thought about doing anything about it. But one of the questions that I asked myself was, how in the world are you going to stand before Almighty God if you got here by your, if you got there by something that you did? If you decided for yourself that it was time for you to come and you didn't finish what He called you to do because you took your own life, how are you going to stand before Him? I didn't want to be in that position. I hope that someday, and I'd be just as happy if it was sooner than later. Not that I'm depressed or feel bad or anything. I want to be with Jesus. And if we love Jesus, we want to be with Him.
Amen.
But I don't want to go before it's time. I don't want to stand before Jesus and find out that I didn't do everything He called me to do, because I made my own choices. I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Life is precious. So I'm going to wrap it up with that. And I know that we have spent time today, we spent our prayer time as we should have, focusing on the need of the moment in the church. But I don't want to leave no opportunity for someone, if you're really hurting and you really need a touch from the Lord today, not to have that opportunity. So I'm gonna get out of the way. I'm gonna say a final prayer and get out of the way, and let Don lead us in an invitational. And if you need any kind of prayer, go ahead and come forward, and I or somebody we'll get some help if we need it. Don't want to leave that. And if you come to the place and realize, I never really made that decision, well, let's get that taken care of right now. Oh, Lord, thank You that You're so good to us. As somebody said today, thank You that we are not mourning a loss of life today. That there is still opportunity for redemption. That there is still opportunity for Your purpose to be fulfilled in Kim's life. We're thankful because we have her with us. And what was meant, what the enemy meant for evil, trying to take her life from her by her own hand, You mean for good. And You're going to make something wonderful. And I don't want to be careful in the way I say that. You have already made something wonderful out of her life. But there is more that You're going to do, and we can't wait to see it. And I pray that for every one of us today, Lord, that we would see the beauty in the life that You gave us. It is precious because it came from You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.